Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
Old Style, Schlitz, Pabst Blue Ribbon. From Milwaukee to Chicago, this region has a rich history of loving and brewing beer. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In the 18th century, one of the biggest brewing legends in Chicago was Conrad Seip. He was an innovator of modern techniques, and his company produced over 200,000 barrels every year. Family members were able to keep the business going after his death, but it ended up closing in the 1930s. One of his descendants is reviving his recipes and his story. And today, you can find Seip beer at select Binnie's and Jewel locations. I sat down with Lauren Mack, owner of the Conrad Seip Brewing Company, to learn more about her grandfather and the heyday of his beer.
Conrad was an immigrant from Germany, from a very small town, grew up on a farm essentially, and made his way to Chicago because things over in Germany were really awful. There was no future for him there. So like so many immigrants, he came to America to make a better world for himself and his family. Mm-hmm. And he tried his hand at several different things and ended up starting a very small brewery in 1854, which was a long time ago. Chicago was just barely incorporated as a city, about 20 years old.
Right. Well, how big of a deal was beer at that time?
A big deal. If you think about it, water wasn't really that safe to drink. It was dirty. It was full of all sorts of stuff you didn't want. And beer was a safer thing to drink. So people were drinking beer at lower alcohol levels, but a lot more of it, just because that's what they needed to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And it was also an immigrant drink. So when we are seeing so many immigrants coming over from Germany and from Ireland and from the Czech Republic, they were bringing their cultural heritage with them, which was beer.
And his was one of the few breweries that survived the Great Chicago Fire. Right,
it's
Lauren?
True. Talk about location, location, location.
Man.
He just happened to build his brewery. It was actually his second brewery because his first brewery burnt down. In those days, that was happening all the time, of course, because they were using lots of fire to make the beer. And his second brewery was at 27th and Cottage Grove, which is down in modern-day Bronzeville, right below the convention center.
Okay.
Which was pretty far below the fire line. But imagine what it would be like for him. In those days, all the German brewers were good friends and colleagues. To have your good friends and colleagues lose their livelihood and, in many cases, their houses just must have been really hard.
My goodness. Yeah. So it was a big factory in what's now Bronzeville.
That's a great word for it. In those days, breweries were just massive because they were making a tremendous amount of beer, but they were also housing not just the brewing facilities, but stables for the horses to take the beer out and deliver it. They were housing the barrels and making the barrels to store the beer. So just really, really massive complex.
How would you say his beer built Chicago?
His beer built Chicago because he was, one of the first brewers in Chicago. With the fire, I think there was approximately 12 breweries and literally half of them burned down. So when we're building Chicago back after the fire, people are drinking Seip beer because his brewing facility was able to just pump beer into the city as the workers from around the country were coming to rebuild Chicago from the ashes.
Yeah.
So that's why we call it the beer that built Chicago, because literally people were drinking the beer when they were rebuilding Chicago after the fire. And also it has just been around since practically the very beginning.
Why did you want to revive the company and tell these stories?
The company went out of business and the whole brewery was torn down in 1933.
Yeah.
Bad luck, because that was the year that Prohibition lifted. And so 89 years later, I decided in 2020 is when we relaunched the first of Conrad Seip's beers, part two, that it was really, I love history and I love Chicago and I love beer. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to help highlight the absolutely incredibly rich beer history that Chicago has and connect it to our incredibly rich current beer culture and environment.
Yeah. And this happens to be your family history, which is, I think, a cool addition to the story. And he didn't pass recipes down to you. There wasn't a binder full of recipes, right? So how are you recreating these?
Unfortunately, no. That would have been great if he had come down from wherever he is and said, here you go, Lauren, have at it. We're recreating it by doing whatever we can to take hints from the past to inform really great beers that are being made for today's drinkers to enjoy. So let's take the Sipes Extra Pale, which is our pre-prohibition pilsner. Mm-hmm. That was recreated with hints that Sipe left us. So for example, on his label in the 18th century, he had written made with Bohemian hops. And we know that that means made with a kind of hops called Saz hops. Mm-hmm. So beer is a very difficult thing to make, but a very simple thing as far as ingredients. You've got water, hops, yeast, and barley. And so we've got the hops taken care of. And then we've got Lake Michigan water, which, of course, we've got plenty of right here. And that's what Conrad was using as well. So we've got two of those. And then we knew, based off of Doug Hurst, who was the head brewer at Metropolitan, who we worked with to make this beer, we knew from his knowledge of traditional brewing techniques the kind of barley that would have been used and what we needed to add, which was a little bit of corn, to make it just really pop as a delicious
pilsner. So that's
pilsner.
The secret.
That's the secret. And you can taste it when we have a little sip. You can taste that wonderful sort of corn sweetness that really rounds everything out.
Lauren, the first beer that you made was the Extra Pale Pre-Prohibition Beer. I want you to talk about this beer and why you decided to start it. And then we'll drink some.
All right. This beer was one of Conrad Sipe's most popular beers. And I thought that was an important place to start to honor him and also honor beer drinkers today who always love a good pilsner. Mm-hmm. I also knew that we'd be releasing the beer in the summer. We happened to release it in July 2020, which was an interesting time in everybody's life during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. And
I know that pilsners are especially delightful to drink in the summertime. When you're ready to give it a try.
Yeah, let's do it.
Nothing like the sound of cracking a beer.
Oh, yeah. All right, here goes.
Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that's delicious.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. It's an easy beer to drink.
Okay, this is about to be my third sip, so you know I'm not lying.
That's a good sign.
Mm. Very smooth. I love that.
I think it's important when I think about drinking a beer. Beer is so much more than beer. Not only is it just delicious and is it refreshing, but I think beer really brings people together. It's when we sit down for a beer, talk to each other about our days, our beliefs,
yes,
breaks down barriers. And in this case, what I really want is when people are drinking Sipe beer, I want them to think about their own history and their own relationship to Chicago. This beer is not really about Conrad Sipe. It's most definitely not about me. It's about the people who drink it and about this great city and this great region of America.
Mm-hmm. The next one that you figured out is Sipes Columbia. This one was advertised at the World's Fair?
Yeah.
Is that right?
It was. Conrad Sipe's beer company was a merchant, or they sold beer at the World's Fair out on the Midway, and there's some great pictures of 5 cents for a glass of Sipe's Pilsner.
Wow.
Sounds like a good price to me. Sipe was excellent at advertising, so he did not waste the opportunity to advertise using this really great pamphlet that shows pictures of the brewery and describes the beers that he had on hand at the moment. And he talks about the Columbia as being very dark in color and of unusual strength. So when recreating this beer, we used that description to help us determine what kind of beer this would be.
Is that how you determined that it was a Bock?
Exactly. So we said, we're going to make this a Bock. And there were also some clues that he left a picture of the beer in that pamphlet, which is shows sort of a very rich, dark color. And we made what I think is a really delicious Bock that we call the Columbia in honor of the World's Fair, but also in honor of Chicago's resilience. We were making this beer right when things were starting to ease up after the initial phases of the pandemic. And if we think back to the World's Fair, which was really a celebration of Chicago's resilience, I mean, think about it. The city had burnt down to the ground 20 years later, and then here they were hosting the world's biggest party. And that just was, I find, so inspirational, and I think really sticks with the spirit of Chicagoans to this day.
Now, the most recent beer that you released is a Hefeweizen. So what's the story behind that one?
Oh, it's a delicious beer for the summertime, any time of year, but especially on a sunny day. Conrad Seip had a beer called the Bavarian.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't sure exactly what kind of beer the Bavarian was. Seip left behind so many clues for us because he was a prolific marketer. So we have all of his beer trays and we have his beer labels. And so we were able to say, all right, we knew he made something called the Bavarian. What kind of beer is Bavaria especially known for? Hefeweizen. So let's make this a Hefeweizen. There's no reason why it wouldn't have been a Hefeweizen for Conrad Seip. And not to mention, we just really wanted to drink some great Hefeweizen made here in America. There's so many wonderful ones in Germany, and it's great to be able to get one locally that's made traditionally. And it is going to be released to the market at the very beginning of May, so you don't have to wait too long to try
exciting.
It yourself.
You were working with Metropolitan Brewing, which closed recently. Now you're working with Pilot Project Brewing Company. Talk briefly about those collaborations.
Metropolitan was just absolutely fantastic. I feel so proud to have been able to work with them, and I'm very sorry that they don't exist as a company anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave so much in the spirit, I think, of Conrad Seip's day of people collaborating and working together to teach each other and mentor each other and just help each other out and grow. Metropolitan was all of that to me. Unfortunately, they closed in 2023, and now I'm working with Pilot Project to brew Seip's beer, which has also been a wonderful collaboration, and it's exciting to be able to bring this beer not just to Chicago, but also Wisconsin.
Yeah. Seip's beer can be found at some Binnie's and Jewel locations with more to come.
That's right.
You just mentioned May. We should look out for stuff in May.
Absolutely. So not only are you able to buy cans of Seip at retail locations, but you can also stop by your favorite bar in Chicagoland and try a draft of Seip. Some wonderful historic bars have it on tap routinely, including places like Twin Anchors and the Old Town Ale House and Chip Inn and Archie's. So that is such an honor to me, because to be able to share that history with a historic beer and these important historic bars is just really powerful and the whole point of all this.
Yeah, what a great story. That's Lauren Mack, owner of the Conrad Seip Brewing Company. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks so much for having a beer with me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more conversations about interesting Chicago history and people, head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.